Welcome to the Creative Shift Podcast. My name is Dan Blank, author of the book Be the Gateway and founder of WeGrowMedia.com. Just a quick announcement before we dig in. This week, I am running a special free workshop in my Facebook group, and it's all about how writers can best use social media. So I've got a video every single day, a big Q&A at the end of the week. So whether you're listening to this live this week or even a little bit after, feel free to go join the group. Just go to Facebook and search for the group called Reader Connection Project. There's about 1,000 writers in there, lots of really useful conversation and things being shared. So I'd love if you joined us. Okay, so today I am chatting with book coach Jenny Nash. Anyone who's followed my work on the podcast or social media or my blog or newsletter knows that I'm a huge fan of her work. She and I have been friends for a very long time, and we have a weekly one-on-one mastermind meeting. And what that means is that every week we really dig into business goals and challenges. Today is a really special episode. We are digging into something that often people don't talk about, and often don't talk about when they're in the midst of it. She is making a huge change in her business at Author Accelerator. Many of you know her as a book coach and her work at Author Accelerator. I'm a huge advocate for what she does and what she does for writers and book coaches. And as we record this very week, she is really making the big switch. She's really changing what her business is about. This has been a very long time in the making. This week, she has a summit called the Business of Book Coaching Summit, and that is the culmination of the really announcing and making that change happen. And she's in it. I asked her to do this interview now because very often when you're taking a risk, when you're making a change, you don't talk about it until it's done because you want hindsight. You want to be able to look back and say, well, it worked, and this is why it worked. Or you say, well, it didn't work, but here's why. And very often we don't share the risk, the fear, the anxiety, the complexity of what it feels like to be in the middle of it. And she was so gracious to say yes and to really share what she's going through and what's going on right now and get very honest about that process. You'll hear she starts off the conversation with a little bit of an asterisk, but this conversation goes so deep, and I found it to be not just intriguing from a creativity standpoint, but this is useful to every writer who has ever worried about being public on social media, developing a platform, launching a book, writing, doing anything and making it public. And we dig into this a lot in the conversation, especially at the end. I know you're going to learn so much from this conversation with Jenny Nash.
Okay, so I want to start out. The first I have to say something. The first thing I have to say is that I'm doing this under duress. I want the people to know that I am not here of my own free will.
Well, that's getting cut. Now we're going to start.
Okay.
Hey everyone, this is Dan Blank. I'm very excited to be chatting with my friend Jenny Nash. Welcome.
Thank you.
So I really appreciate you coming on the call today and chatting. You were just joking that this is under duress, that you did not want to do it. And that's sort of the reason I wanted to chat. One of my favorite quotes ever is from U2. And Bono said between the Joshua Tree years and everything came in the 90s, the quote is, you have to reject one expression of the band first before you get to the next expression. And in between, you have nothing. You have to risk it all. You are in a moment like that this week. Are you not?
Literally. Well, and that's why I said before that I'm here under duress, because you wanted to capture this moment. And I said, well, can we do it later? And you said, you were very pushy in an excellent Dan-like way, saying, well, no, because I want this moment. And you and I both know that these moments, it's very different after the fact. When you're looking back on something, it's very different than when you're in it. And I'm super in it.
So what's the sort of summary version of the transition that you're in with your business? It was this and it's moving into that. How can you kind of explain that for us?
So I started Author Accelerator a little more than 5 years ago, and it originally was this vision of offering low cost book coaching to writers. And I'm a book coach and I develop systems and strategies. And the original vision was, well, a private book coach is expensive. Is there a way to make this more accessible to people? That was our original vision. And we started, I have a business partner whose name is Matt. He's kind of a behind the scenes partner, but the curriculum and the creative vision and everything is all mine. So we started it with that vision, and we relatively quickly realized that it was a bad idea. And it was a bad idea because low cost one-on-one service doesn't go together. You can't provide the kind of service that actually helps writers if you are not paying for quality help and paying for time. It's a time-intensive thing to help a writer with a book. A book coach is working with the writer while they're writing, not when they're finished. It's an ongoing process. So we very quickly found, okay, that didn't work. So we pivoted and we increased our prices and we changed the business model and we made a package in a program that was more aligned with actually being able to help writers and see them grow, which is the point. We did not want to offer a service that didn't actually help. So this is just a long way of saying any business is iterative. There's, you know, you're constantly changing the model and changing the pricing and changing the way you deliver it. And constantly, that's what being an entrepreneur is. So this was, none of this was a surprise, but and we met with a great deal of success, I would say, and probably out in the world, if people have heard of us or seen us or done any of our programming from the outside, it looks really slick and it looks really great. And I have this management team of 6 full-time employees, and I had 30 book coaches working for me, and we, you know, it looked really great, but I came to a point in the business where I had to make a decision, and you can ask me questions about what that point was. I want to finish this story so I don't spend 3 hours on it. But I came to this really big pivot point, and the biggest yet, and by far, and really had to contemplate whether or not I was going to continue at all or totally change it. And the reason we're talking this week is I made a decision to totally change it in a very dramatic way. And I sort of put a stake in the ground, and I have some events and products and things that are all happening to relaunch the business. And that's all what's happening right now when we're speaking, is those events. And so I sit in a place right now where I don't know what's going to happen.
It's funny because from the outside of this, it can all look really seamless. It's like if a restaurant says, oh, we're opening up an ice cream shop next door. And you're like, oh, that's great. That's awesome. Congratulations. You're growing. And meanwhile, the owners there's a whole backstory. There could be like, well, actually, no, we're not profitable. And this is not you. It's, we're not profitable, but we did some studies, and actually the ice cream business is a lower overhead. And we did a study, and they could be terrified. They could be grasping for straws. They could be trying to save face. And of course, one, you don't know that because you're just so excited they're launching something, because launching anything is big. But that is a big dramatic change. Can you characterize at all of the stuff that's going on, and like the evolution of where the business is going, the focus?
Yeah. So the point that we came to was a realization that, well, I guess I should level set. So I said I've been running Author Accelerator for more than 5 years. I have 6 full-time employees. I had 30 book coaches working for me, and I was not drawing a salary from this company until about 9 months ago. And the salary that I'm now drawing is very, very, very small. So basically, this company was my side gig. I also work myself as a book coach, and I have a very robust book coaching practice. It is a full-time and then some job. So Author Accelerator was a side gig for me that I was hoping to stand up as a business that would pay me, which is the way a lot of businesses start. And so that's the level set. And it was growing and it was doing very well, but it was not paying me. And I got to a point where I just thought, I can't keep doing this. It would be foolhardy to keep doing it. You know, how long do you keep trying something? That's really the crux of what happened. And it began to feel somewhat despairing to me that this beautiful thing that I made, that, I mean, when I say beautiful, like the testimonials that we get from the writers that we serve and from the coaches that worked with us were just over the moon. And we have open rates on all of our newsletters that are just enviable. And I was making enough money to pay 6 people, you know, like this was very successful by a lot of metrics. But I personally just got to a point where I thought, I can't do this. It's costing me my health. It's costing me my sanity. You know, and then there's that reality check of, okay, it's working. It's beautiful. It's good, but not good enough.
That's such a point though. And I want to pause on that because it's such a big thing where this was not, hey, gave it a shot. We couldn't effectively train people. We got writers in, but they didn't want to commit or we weren't profitable. You and I have a weekly call. We've had this call for years. We have talked about every detail of your business, of my business, all of that. And it was doing great. It was doing great on so many levels that it is nothing more than a case study of awesomeness. and I yeah. say that, you know, and I've talked to you about this as well. There have been, you know, you and I in some ways have a very similar career in that we both offer essentially a coaching service. I'm more on the marketing side to writers. You're more on the writing side. And that's very similar. Our one-on-one coaching thing is generally speaking kind of similar. And I've always thought, and we've talked about this, well, on top of that, she's got a company. And the company now has systems and staff and they're trained. She has like retreats and she has policies. She has trained 25 or 28 or 30 book coaches. So she has now taken her knowledge. She has made a system out of it. She's successfully trained dozens of people. Those people have successfully worked with actual writers. I have heard story after story. I've talked to people again and again who and you'll talk about this. I brought tissues. Who cry when they meet their book coach. What has come out of this? And in the back of my mind, or I've talked to you about, gosh, I should be doing that. I should not just be trading time for money and coaching. I should have a company, and this company should have a system and scale, and eventually Jenny's going to sell this for millions of dollars. And gosh, I'm so stupid for not doing this, because that is pro. That is looking 10 years out. And the reality of it is all of what I just said, yet what you're saying is it was also taking up all of this time and energy, and you go all in with everything you do. Can we talk a bit about the numbers without talking about the numbers? And I think what I'm hinting at here is, again, draw the boundary where you need to, but the idea of profitability, of overhead. And the simple way I always look at this is that if you're a cobbler and I work downtown, if you have a shop downtown, that overhead of $3,500 a month, of the signage, that's all overhead. If you're a cobbler and you just rent out a basement and you come in through the internet, there's no overhead. So what is it from a metric standpoint, or how can you talk about the old business versus the new one from a metric standpoint?
Yeah. So I haven't described what the new one is, so maybe I should do that. So when I said that I got to a point where I realized it was good, but it wasn't good enough, it was about numbers. It was about 100%. It was about numbers, and it was about my well-being and where those two things kind of, the Venn diagram of those two things. And I, I am ambitious and I did want to build something big, and I did want to I challenged myself to go beyond, I'm using air quotes if people are listening, just being a book coach, because I have a, like I said before, a very successful book coaching business. My clients do very, very well. I love it. I'm good at it. All that is good. But for some reason, this itch to do something bigger was there, and to try really to change an industry, because book coaching is very new and I wanted to lift it up and I wanted to make it well known, and these were all my ambitions. And so the metric that we were talking about in the old business was we were making close to $1 million a year. So when we're talking about not good enough, like, most companies don't get past 5 years and they don't make money and they don't, you know, all these things. But so you're asking about overhead. Well, and then the metric to come down to is I was paying myself somewhere in the neighborhood of, call it $3,000 a month out of this almost $1 million business. And part of that was a grave mistake on my part that I didn't pay myself from the beginning. And, you know, lesson learned, right? So I should have done that. And I didn't. And I was conscious about that, because you have to invest in anything you do. And what do you have to invest? There's time, there's energy, there's money. And no way was I ever going to do something where I took outside money, because I wanted to do this on my own. And I had specific ideas about how I wanted to do it, and specific things that related to my philosophy of book coaching and helping writers. And so it was never a question of, oh, I'll get this big investment. And so in my mind, what I was investing was my time and my energy. So, which was okay. I was okay with that, because I thought that it would eventually pay actual cash monies. But when people think about investing in themselves or in an idea or in a business, they usually just think about the money. But, you know, for me, it was, I can invest time and energy, but then I got to a point where when it wasn't paying me enough over this pretty long span of time, even though the business was by every measure successful, I really sort of had this, this reckoning moment. And when I talk, excuse me, about my own well-being, that's not theoretical. I mean, I laugh about it, but it's not actually funny. I'm a chronic migraine sufferer, really severe migraine. When people throw that term out, if they don't really know what it means, they don't. It's not like, oh, you just take a migraine Excedrin and you're fine. A severe migraine is a full body shutdown that often costs me at least a day, if not two or three. And I had been at a point in my life where I was managing that situation well and doing okay. And I mean, there were other things in my life, like I moved, like my husband lost his job, like my daughter's getting married, like my mother is literally losing her mind. You know, there's a lot of other things.
It is literally every checkbox in the most stressful things of life checklist.
Yeah. And I was starting to lose control of managing the migraines. So what that means is I was probably having at least one a week. And it was, again, I'm not trying to make people feel sorry for myself, but it's not just like, oh, my head hurts. It's like, oh, I mean, the moment that will stick in my mind forever was I was doing a whole series of podcasts about the business and about book coaching. And I had invested in a PR person to help me with that. And I was on this podcast that was about career pivots. And it was like a really cool podcast. I was literally sitting in the chair where I'm sitting right now. And I'm doing this podcast. And while I'm on the air with the person, like we are talking right now, I was like, I'm going to be sick. And I mean, I'm going to throw up. And that's what happens. Oftentimes a migraine comes on really fast. And the trigger is not the trigger, the, first symptom is that's what happens is I throw up a lot. So I know this is kind of graphic, but I want to get into it because we're talking about wellness, right? So I'm on this podcast and I'm like, I'm not going to make it through this podcast. And we had this great conversation and I was like, totally, part of my brain was totally in it while part of the rest of my brain was like, I'm going to be sick. And then we finished the recording. And normally what happens is, you know, when you finish, you're chit-chatting with the host. And oftentimes that's when you make a nice connection with them. And in this case, this woman was literally saying, I want to hire you. And I said, I'm really sorry, I have to go. I'm going to be sick. And I like hit the button on the computer. And I know this is super graphic. If you have to cut it out, it's okay. I threw up all over. Like I didn't even get out of my chair. And that's what I mean by not being well. So like, this is what I was going through. And so I had this moment where I was like, I can't keep doing this. This is not okay. And, you know, there's pushing yourself, there's trying hard, there's rising to a challenge, there's all that. But, you know, you get to a point where like your body's screaming at you, this is not okay. And that's when I really made this decision. And I'll stop before I get to the next part because you may have things you want to say.
No, I think you're covering it really well, especially that idea of there's a lot of like isms out there of like you gotta invest in yourself. Don't take a salary, put it all back in, or don't leave anything on the floor. You know, put it all out there. And that moment is so similar. And you and I have had things where you're texting like, I'm in a dark room, I have a migraine, I can't talk today. It's just so stark. And it's so clear from the short text too, that like you are in another plane of existence right now. You know, you can't even have sunlight or light, let alone a conversation or run a business.
Yeah. Well, and it's people, a lot of people have things like this in their life, different things when, you know, it takes us a long time sometimes to come to self-awareness about things. And, you know, for me, it's this type of illness and body shutdown. For other people, it might take the form of depression or alcoholism or, you know, addiction to Netflix or, you know, whatever the thing is. But like you get to a point, you realize the toll this is taking is just too high. So then the question was, okay, do I just shut it down? Do I, you know, what are my choices here? And one thing, you know, just to say that's wonderful about running your own business and doing your own thing is you have total control. So I could sit down and say, I could do anything with these things I have made and these assets I have built. And what do I want to do? And that question is a question people, I think, need to ask themselves whenever they're starting a thing, whether it's a project or, you know, I know you talk a lot about creative practices like playing the guitar or doing art or writing a book or whatever the thing is. You know, you really, when you're starting it, you're thinking, is this a thing I really want to commit to? Is this a thing I really want to do? Does this really matter to me enough to do it? And that question, you don't just ask once, you ask that question 1,000 times.
I will say, as you're describing this, I'm remembering, I forget how long, but we have had conversations around this for so long. You know, I remember the first time like you broached the thing of like, I might shut it down or whatever. And it was just like shocking. And then just dozens and dozens of conversations for months and months and months and months. This was not everything was great, but in November, I finally hit rock bottom. And then we sprung into action and created this thing. This was an arduous decision-making process.
Yeah. And, you know, really thinking, why am I doing this? What do I want from it? What do I want from my work in general? What do I want for my life with like wellness and all of it? You know, those questions are all bound up together. And so, yeah, unwinding that, and they're not easy questions and they're not easy answers. And you know me well, I love all the things. I want to do all the things. I am a person who is very excited and eager. I don't like having to not do anything I want to do. And by that, I mean like a new project, a new partnership, a new thing, a new, you know, like give me all the new, I love it. And so for me, it was really hard to think, okay. And the way I tried to think was, okay, if I were starting this from scratch today.
Wait, I'm sorry. I have to pause on this point because that is such a big one. You are not someone who had an idea 5 years ago and you built it and you built it, and you have literally had people have people on your team, and their main job is to stop you from saying yes to the next thing that will invest in a new idea, a new partnership, a new whatever with Author Accelerator. You and I have talked about this the entire time we've known each other, where you are an idea machine, but you're also an implementation machine. You find new partnerships left and right, new ideas, and like you do them. And I just want to point that out too, where it wasn't just had an idea for an ice cream shop, it didn't work out. You go through more ideas than anyone I've ever known, and not just having the idea, I mean actually following up and making them happen. So I just want to make that point here, or reflect on that point.
No, it's very true. And I've worked really hard at the processes and systems that stop me, because I'll do way too many things. And I have, in fact, empowered people to say no. And I had to create a new habit where when I get an email and someone's like, I was thinking about doing this thing, or I was inviting you, or what do you think? And my instant reaction is to write them back and be like, yes, all the yes, let's do it. And I had to start this practice where now I have to say, yes, all the yes, let's do it. But I have to ask my team members before we can actually move forward. I have to add that in, because I have to have somebody check and balance me. So yeah, I like to say yes to all the things. So when I got to this moment where I thought, okay, something has to change, then I really thought, well, what do I most love? What do I most want to do? What would I keep? And I really did force myself to think, maybe I shut this whole thing down. And I couldn't just say, well, that was a good run and goodbye. And I can talk very specifically about the reasons that I couldn't do that. And they are 100% bound up in ego. Oh, wow. So, that's just the reality was I, you know, this idea that I would had done this thing and done really well, and it had begun to do that really big thing that I wanted, which was change in industry. We had become known for doing something that nobody else has done, which is how do you train book coaches and scale this idea of one-on-one feedback for writers. There's really nobody who has done that, and I was on my way, and I didn't want to just say, well, that's it, goodbye, because it really was just that ego thing. Like, I want to still see if I can do that.
I mean, this is, I think, a big crux of what we're talking about too, is just the emotional component of this.
Oh, it's all emotion. It's all emotion. Like, yeah, it came from numbers. It came from metrics. It came from my husband's a very accomplished financial person. That's what his career in life is. And we have these financial projections that are worthy of mega million-dollar companies. And so, you know, I was able to see where this was going, and I was able to see what needed to happen in order to, you know, so the whole thing about paying myself was about the wellness component. It was about something's got to change, and I don't want to give up this or that or the other thing. So I've got to pay myself so I can give up. You know, that was kind of where the money comes from. It wasn't, oh, I have to go get a job if this doesn't work. The numbers were really about wellness. So, but then when I decided I can't actually walk away, and then the question was, okay, so what are you going to do? And that's when we looked at when I say we, I mean my whole team, we looked at our business, and we looked at what was working. We looked at what was good. We looked at a model that could work, and we basically flipped the whole thing on its head. And instead of serving writers, which is what Author Accelerator was started to do, and the book coaches that we brought on and trained were in service of serving those writers, we flipped the whole thing on its head, where now we are going to serve the book coaches instead and actually not take writers in. So ironically, or maybe it's not ironically, maybe it's stupidly.
It sounds better when you say ironically.
The new iteration of Author Accelerator is an entirely different business model and concept, and it is going to take a while for it to make money. It's almost as if I started from scratch. So it still exists. To the public, it probably doesn't look that different to any given writer who comes to us, because we still come get writers and match them with book coaches. We just are not managing those writers or servicing those writers. We're servicing the book coaches. It looks almost exactly the same, but it's totally different. And I'm back to exactly where I was, which is my side gig is a full-time job with a full-time staff and, you know, huge demands in terms of curriculum development and all that. And so the place where we sit today, where we're talking, and I think why you wanted to talk, is because I'm doing this big launch of this new iteration of it. And that big launch involves a book that I wrote, and it involves a huge summit that I'm putting on, a free online summit that I'm putting on. And where we sit today, I have absolutely no idea if it's going to work. And we talked yesterday, and or I guess it was texting, and I kept texting you the throw up emoji, the nauseous emoji, because I mean it's actually how I feel, and it doesn't have to do with the migraine. It just has to do with that. Here I am risking the whole damn thing, and like, what am I doing?
I mean, this is the crux of it, which is like, you don't know if it's going to work. And right. It's so easy for someone to say that, but to be in that process, it's like, it is terrifying in that way, because going into this is not just, hey, you're going to run out of the flagpole. You've had to make 1,000 decisions to sort of undo what you've built. I want to talk about that. And then you are not like a normal person who would just do a summit. We've talked about this for months. You have been building this for so long. And you've talked to me about the budget. We're doing these ads. I brought this person. It's like, I've literally said to you at times, I'm like, do you have to do that? Like, can you just not do that piece? Like, and you're like, no, we're going to do it. We're going to go all in. I want to pause in 1 second too, because I want to dig into that of the success of the summit too, because that doesn't take away the risk. When you said that $1 million a year number, just so people are clear about that, because you said, well, I didn't really pay myself much. Where that is eaten up, where that money exists but is not in your pocket or anything like that, you're paying 6 full-time salaries or something like that. You're paying something around these 25 or 30 book coaches. You're paying for the professional consultants. You're paying for airfare for retreats. You're doing all this system and service stuff. And generally speaking, if it doesn't eat up all of that, it eats up enough to where you're saying, and I'll make up these numbers, if someone earns $100, the profit was $8. And you're like,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And the business model was such, it goes back to this idea of one-on-one service providers. And we talk about this all the time. You're bound by your time. So in the model that I had, it wasn't my time anymore. It was other people's time. I was selling other people's time, but the metric still held. I was still bound by their time, and it was still time for money, a time for money trade, even though I had all these people and it was scalable. And that's exactly what the crux of the problem was when we really dug into the numbers, was the labor costs. So what I had to pay the coaches was so high that what was left over for running all the systems and processes and management was not enough. And I also was not paying my coaches what they actually deserve. And that was bothering me, and wanting to raise our rates and then getting away from it. There's so many problems tied up in the numbers of it. But yeah.
Was there a day when you made a decision and you had to sort of tell the first person?
Well, yes. So there was, I made the decision, like you said, over just a lot of conversations with you, with my husband, with my management team. And it was, you know, just a lot of conversations and a lot of small decisions. And the evidence just began building that this was what we were going to do. This was the direction we were going to go, was that we were going to flip this model on its head. And we began running some numbers. We began doing projections. We began really thinking about how this would look, how it would work, what would we want to do. It was really like starting a whole business from scratch. And that process took many, many months. But there was a moment when I had to tell the coaches who were working for me. And that there were about 30 of them. And that moment was horrible. And it wasn't just a moment. It was weeks and weeks and weeks of horrible. And there was no way. It's not that far in the past that I'm talking about it. We're talking right now in mid-January, and this happened in early December. So it wasn't that long ago. But it was, there was no way, looking back, that I could have mitigated that horribleness. It was always going to be horrible, and it was horrible, and it still is horrible. Even just talking about it now, I'm like, bleh, it was horrible.
Working so, up to that announcement, you'd prepared really well. You'd sent me stuff to look at. We talked about multiple times, especially right around then. Nothing about you announcing this to them was flippant. In fact, I was sort of blown away. I used to work in corporate communications. So I have worked on communication plan after communication plan. We've had risk management with legal. Like, I've schooled in that. My degree is in communication. So I was really impressed at how much there was, at how much you tried to not just announce something, but then give them a path forward. We talked about all that stuff. So it is a point which, and you just said this, which is there is no way it wasn't going to be, in your words, horrible. But what does that mean? Why would it be horrible? Because I can see someone saying, oh, the successful person I knew, they closed down one restaurant, but they're building another one. It actually serves the food community even better. Why is that horrible? How do you frame that for us?
Yeah, I mean, it was horrible because one of the things that people liked about working with us, the coaches, what they liked about working with us is that the model that we had was such that we would hand them on a silver platter writers to work with. And when I was just starting out, and for many, many years, I was a freelance writer, and I had two little kids, and I worked at home, and I've always worked for myself for 30 something years. So there were many, many years where the idea of, like, I used to just say, I love to work. If somebody would just give me work, I would just do it. I would be so happy. What I didn't like was having to pitch the work or propose the work or be in the running for the work or worry about the work or, you know, all of those things. And so what we did was this dream for a freelancer, which was, here's the work, just do it. And we'll take care of everything else. We'll take care of the billing, the back end, the complaints, the, you know, the marketing, the this, the that. And it was, they loved it. They loved it because you would love it. And like I said, there was a time in my life when I would have loved it. And so what was always going to be horrible was that the business switch was saying to these people, that's over because we can't do it anymore. And and it doesn't work anymore. So now we're going to continue to sort of kind of do it, but you have to take on more of those things you don't want to do. We're going to shift it so that really what it came down to was they're going to make more money and way more money, almost double more money for the same work, but they're going to have to do some of these tasks. So we were doing these back end tasks for hundreds of writers, 300 or 400 writers at a time, which is what I was paying the full-time staff for. When we flipped it so that the coaches would have to do that back end work for the writers they're working with, it's only for a few writers per book coach. So they would now have to manage 3 or maybe 4 or 5 writers, which is comparatively super easy compared to doing it for hundreds of writers. And what I did was I said, we'll help you set up the processes and systems. I will coach you on how to do that. We'll give you guides. I gave them free access to the business classes that I have for book coaches. We did a lot of things to try to make that transition easy for them.
And the timeline for transition too, you gave something like a 6-month transition before everything was sort of fully in effect.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're still in that transition point, but the shock. So I tried really, really hard to minimize the impact it was going to have. I mean, these are people, it's their lives, it's their livelihood. And so when I say it was always going to be horrible, I always knew that it was going to not be welcome news for some of them, and it would be extremely unwelcome news for a fraction of them. And it was, and, there was nowhere to hide. It was like, I made this decision. I'm making this announcement. I am doing this to you. It was horrible in that, it was not going to be a welcome, happy, good thing for a chunk of them. And I hated that.
This is something I think about, and it's not just running a business. I think it's sometimes being public or being a leader in any capacity. And I've looked at, I live in a small town, and for a while I was getting more active in how the town works and the government perspective. And what I saw there was a reminder of this, that someone could have a great idea. Hey, we're gonna remove downtown parking because we've done studies that will actually literally save lives. Well, fewer kids getting hit by cars, it will give us more green space. They could have this list that is unbelievably compelling, and they could have spent months working out details and partnering with people and getting subsequent parking plans, and they launch and they're so proud. They've given away their family time. They've done this pro bono. It's going to literally save lives. And they release it, and because it's a change, one, people don't like change. But two, everyone views the world from their perspective. So maybe it's a store owner says, yeah, but my business, people pick up coffee. So you're making it hard. And that no matter how much you prepare, you are going to get, as you're saying, a range of different reactions, and not for bad reasons. None of these people are being flippant. It's genuinely their experience in life, and that there's almost no, like, you're saddled with that. You have to go through that, because it is such a big change.
Yeah. And it was, it was just pretty, real. There is that moment where you think, oh God, there's people's lives. And, people said things to me. I mean, they said some things I considered to be mean and nasty, and personal. And it was not benign, their reaction. And they said things to me, that just, I'm a cancer survivor my own self. And, somebody said to me, but I use this money to pay for my cancer medication, and it's just like horrible. It was just interesting because I made this decision for my own wellness, for my own business, for the health and sustainability of myself and this company. And these people, it was these people's lives. Well, and when I said it was always going to be horrible, like, there's no way to make everybody happy.
Well, that's the interesting thing. And, you know, I don't know the numbers or percentages, but the impression I have is that it wasn't that 100% of the people rejected it. It was like, you know, 50% were on board immediately. 20% were concerned about a few things and you can kind of help them. 20% really needed to be brought along, but they could be brought along. And then it's always a very small percent where they're directly offended or mad or whatever the emotion is. And I used to give this example in the mastermind I run, which is like, it's like, you know, a big bowl of water and you put that, you know, a little drop of blue dye and it just clouds the water. And as someone who puts themselves out there, whether you're an entrepreneur or a writer or just someone on Instagram, that one comment, that one email or the three, whatever, it overshadows everything good. All you can think about is that one negative thing.
Yeah. Well, and this goes to, you know, you and I are both in the business of helping people who want to do a thing that is very public. Writing is a very public thing. There's no way that it can't be. You know, writers tend to be introverts. They work alone. They're very much up in their heads. But when their book is in the world, it is in the public and they are in the public. However they manifest that, you have to be. And there is no universe in which you bring something into the world and you don't get some reaction that's going to make you sick. I mean, it just doesn't work like that. And in the age we live in and the internet and the whole thing, sometimes the most benign things people put out there just get ripped apart. And, you know, what's interesting about that is having just gone through this experience, you have to know why you're doing this work. You have to know what your goals are, your deep level why. You have to know what values you stand on. I think about these things and do work on these things all day long, and I'm extremely clear about them in my own head. And that's the only thing that carries you through, is you know that, like, I know that I made all my decisions with integrity. And I know that's like my biggest value. And it always has been, doing things with integrity and serving writers with integrity and actually doing things that actually help writers. Cause there's a lot of people that don't. And you and I privately talk about those businesses a lot. And I stand in deep opposition to them. So this idea of integrity is so central to what I do that when I made this decision and this announcement and my integrity was questioned, it was just like, I didn't even know what to do. And it really rattled me. And I think when people express fear about stepping up to create something or to do something or to risk something or to take something on, and usually with you and me, it's writing a book and bringing that book into the world, the fear that they have is about this. This is what the fear is I'm going to do this thing and spend years and put my heart and soul and everything into it. And I'm going to put it out into the world and somebody is going to not like it or is going to question my deep everything about it. And what am I going to do with that? How am I going to stand up to that? How am I going to, you know, that's what we fear, and all those judgments, and it, you know, when I say it's always going to be horrible when about my decision, I say that to writers every day because I talk about their fear with them every day. And I try to ask them to specifically dig into their fear. What specifically would be the worst possible thing that happens when this book comes out? And sometimes that thing is obvious and easy. Like I'm thinking right now about a woman who I'm working with who's doing a series of novels set in South Dakota and the, I'm trying to get my words right here, the indigenous peoples that live there. And she is a white blonde woman who is writing in the voice, half of her novels are in the voice of an indigenous woman from one of the tribes. And she knows that she's going to get ripped apart for that. It's part of the zeitgeist that we're in right now with the Own Voices movement and appropriation, cultural appropriation, and who has a right to tell whose stories and who has a right to try to be in someone else's shoes. And we want to hear from the people that have that lived experience. And those people have traditionally been shut out of publishing. And, you know, so that conversation with that writer, for example, we know what the issue is and we know what she needs to be prepared for. We know the risk that she is going to take and we talk about it all day long. And, you know, she has to step up and confront that risk. But sometimes it's not quite that obvious, the fear. The fear of a writer is more, how am I going to be seen in the world? Who am I to take on this identity of a writer? What if people say X about me? What if they say Y? There is no moment of a day where I'm not dealing with this with a writer. Like, I recently had a woman who's writing a book. It's coming out in about 9 months. It's a book about fathers and daughters and how fathers can talk to their daughters. And it's a beautiful, powerful, moving, awesome book. Well, just this week, Peggy Orenstein came out with a book on boys and sex, and it touches on a lot of these same issues and covers a lot of same ground. And am I saying the right author? Peggy Orenstein. Yeah. You know, huge, mega famous author. This book will land on the bestseller list. Everybody will be talking about it. They already are. So my writer writes to me like, I should just quit, right? And she has a deal from Penguin, Dan. And she's like, I should just quit. Like, now there's just no point, right? Like, she just took all the air out of the room. Like, I'm just nothing. Like, I should just stop, huh? Like, I'm just, you know, I mean, actually, I had to drop everything I'm doing to help this woman, because that's the fear of being in the world with your thing. So, you know, what I just lived through, you know, I said it was horrible, and I'm living that sort of right now in this, like, I hope I made the right decision. I hope all this pain was worth it, whatever. But you don't know. You just don't know.
That's the trick. And I mean, yeah. I think we were going to do this interview in a couple of weeks and you agreed to do it. And then yesterday I texted, this week you have the Business of Book Coaching Summit. We've talked for a very, very, very long time about the numbers, goals, what you're putting into it. I said, well, how's it going? And you text me back, here's all the numbers. And here's the three or four different main metrics, how I'm doing, where I'm overperforming, where we're projecting. And it was interesting because in every way, it is a success for how you scoped it out, for what you put into it. But we don't know if it's going to work.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I have 15 expert interviews that I scheduled and prepared for and conducted and edited and put together.
And you called in favors for a lot of, I mean, you left nothing. Oh. You called in, and we've talked about this, like called in favors, worked with people, got people you think you could get, go on.
No, I called in every favor ever that I could. I pulled every lever. For really 6 or 9 months, I've been planning this and working on this and putting money into it and putting resources into it and planning the ads and planning the outreach and doing guest posts and doing podcasts and just endless amounts of energy. And again, nobody, myself included here, is paying me for this. This is just all my effort and energy and time on top of everything else that I'm doing. And it was all, and I wrote this book and I published this book and I got the cover done and I sent out review copies and I, you know, launched this whole thing and like all of it coming down on this 1 week. And yeah, the numbers are looking really good and the early feedback has been really good. And, you know, it was just like for weeks, it was like, yes, 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 yes. Like, this is so good. This is going to so work. This is so going to happen. And then yesterday was the day when it actually launched for real. And then it's just this weird thing where you just sort of are like, it's like hands off the controls. Like, you can't do anything. You can't do anything else. And I had this simultaneous feeling of I did everything I could. And And, you know, I, even this morning before we talked here, my team and I were on a call and we took a moment, a collective moment, and this is all virtual. My company's all virtual. So we were just on a call, Slack call, a video call. And we were all just like, let's just take a moment to congratulate ourselves. Like we really did more than we set out to do. This just was, it worked so well. This is so beautiful. Yay us. Like, you know, we took that moment to celebrate and to, you know, and they're all giddy because the numbers are so great. But meanwhile, like I keep talking about my stomach's in knots because I'm just like, yeah, that's all well and good, but we need to see results and we need to convert these numbers into money that's going to pay us. And it pretty soon, this has to show signs of paying me. So when I say, will it work, of turning this business around so that I can keep doing what I'm doing, so that I can not burn myself out and be sick. And the runway is pretty short, you know, like I don't have 5 more years. I can try this. I have in my mind, really, if in 6 months it doesn't show signs that it's going to work, I really don't think, I really do think I will have to shut it down completely. And so that's what I mean. Like, is it going to work? And that all just rests on me. The rest of the team is just all like, yeah, you know, I'm paying their salaries. Like they're all happy. It's all good. But I know deep in my gut, I don't know. I just don't know. I really don't know where we sit today. And, you know, for your audience and people thinking about making something and creating something and risking something and trying something, you have to be prepared for this moment because it's coming. And, you know, people think, especially with books, they have these fantasies and these visions. Like, I'm going to get a huge advance. I'm going to get a big marketing budget. It's going to be a bestseller. I'm going to quit my day job. You know, it's going to be reviewed in all these awesome places. And, you know, I'm here to say there will be a moment, no matter what happens to it, when you're feeling what I'm feeling and you're thinking, oh no. And you're thinking, I don't know. And you're thinking, you know, just all your fingers and toes crossed. You have to come into this moment. It's coming. And, you know, if people are nervous or fearful or they don't think they can tolerate that or do that or whatever, you know, I would just suggest doing emotional work around that because that's what it's about.
Yeah, it's funny. You and I talk a lot, you know, privately about, you know, you talked about the coaching business you're building. I mean, look at a lot of other people that offer services and products and how many people are out there saying, I did this. It's a system. I've done it again and again. I'm going to show you my system. I'm going to give you my scripts. It's exactly what I do. And then you're going to do it. It's going to happen for you. About getting email subscribers, launching a bestseller, getting a platform, all the things. And you and I talk about that. And these are oftentimes very accomplished, charismatic, interesting people who are helping, but they'll overstate. Here's the system. Once you know the system, it will happen for you. And the thing that you talk about here and a lot, and the thing I talk about a lot too, is like, I mean, it's like the author accelerator story. Like, you can do everything. Do it with incredible sense of vision, of integrity, of resources, of time, energy, money, access, connection. You can be sustained over years. And no one, no thing can promise that it will work. And for a writer listening to this, it definitely applies to a book launch. It also applies to the newsletter, to the podcast, to the blog, to the platform, to the speaking career, to the group you want to run, to the business you're attaching to it. And I think that the work that you and I do in our own ways, it's helping people go through that. But again, it's that idea that you can never promise a path will have a result, and that going into it, you have to be in it. Like, that is the creative process. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, those businesses that promise that, you know, that promise that path or that easy way or that magic bullet, I don't know if we can swear on this podcast, you can cut it out, but it's total bullshit. It's just total bullshit. And it, you know, one of the things I see writers do a lot and book coaches that I'm training now as well, which is they sign up for the masterclass and the pod, you know, the course and the thing. And they're like always signing up and like, I'm going to take this workshop and do this conference. And they throw all this money at this thing where the idea is, if I just do this, it's going to be easy. I won't have to feel this pain. That's what they're trying to do. And first of all, they're spending so much time on that they're not writing or they're not launching their book coaching business or they're not launching their book marketing thing. It's just noise that they're just filling it up with other experts' opinions. And there is always a moment at which you have to do it your own self. You have to trust your own self. You have to tune inward. You have to take the leap. You have to take action. And no path is going to help you. I do think that aligning yourself with experts who are ahead of you in knowledge is incredibly valuable. I obviously think that. I run a book coaching business. And I know that you believe the same thing and that you're not a guru, but somebody who can listen to you and teach you and show you the skills you need. Those are things you can learn for sure. But the actual taking of action and how you're going to take the action at a certain point, it's just all you. And you have to be willing to have it all fall apart. Yeah. You know, and I'm just thinking about that so much right now for my own self. Like if it all falls apart, I will know I tried everything I could and that I did everything I could and there really was no stone left unturned. And that feeling is really good and really satisfying. And I actually think at the end of the day for writers and entrepreneurs, that's what you want. That's what you're going for, is putting your all into it in such a way that you can, if you had to shut the door and close it all down, or, you know, the book doesn't work and whatever that means, work, you know, whatever that means for you. If you can feel like, well, I did everything I could, then that's going to be a satisfying undertaking.
I love that. Jenny, I appreciate you being willing to talk about this, especially now, especially mid-cycle. And this is what we talked about earlier about why now is, if everything worked out great, looking back, I'd be like, well, here's why it worked. If everything didn't work, we'd be like, well, here's why. And to share this in the moment, I think is so useful for people. So I genuinely appreciate you taking that leap with us.
Well, like I said at the start, I didn't want to, because I want to, you know, I want to be the story. It was like, yes, I was so nervous and I felt so bad and I didn't know. And look what happened. You know, that's the story I want to tell, but I don't know. I really, really do
and
not
that's
know.
That's the creative process.
And there you go. I think we should end on that.
You can find Jenny Nash at authoraccelerator.com. That's also where you can find information on the Business of Book Coaching Summit. You can also find Jenny at jennynash.com. That is Jenny, J-E-N-N-I-E, and on social media at the same name. My name again is Dan Blank. You can find me at wegrowmedia.com or on social media at Dan Blank. Thank you so much for listening until the end.